Welcome to Genuine Life Recovery. We're here to help you and your loved ones overcome addictions and other addiction-related mental health challenges. In this show, we dive into the physical, emotional, psychological, and spiritual aspects of addiction, mental health, recovery, family dynamics, codependency, and more. You can listen on your favorite app or at jodystevens.org. Genuine Life Recovery is made possible by great friends like Joshua's Heart in memory of Joshua Brent Moore, bringing hope, love, and awareness to those afflicted by addiction online at joshasheart.org, and Jody Stevens Productions for commercial voiceover, narration, production, MC, and public speaking online at jodystevens.org. Hey friends, welcome back to Genuine Life Recovery. Today we're going to be talking about a really cool event that's coming up with Celebrate Recovery. We're also going to be talking about Celebrate Recovery, what it is, and we're going to be hearing another amazing story of faith and experience and strength and hope and recovery and sobriety and God and all those great things. I'm talking to my friend Jeff Redman, and I've known Jeff on and off for quite a while from my days in Sacramento and Roseville and doing radio for the Fish in Sacramento and going to Bayside Church where I met my husband, and that's where I got sober and met Aaron. So it's so super fun to talk with you. Jeff, thanks for coming on and reaching out.
Well, Jody Stevens, thank you so much. It's fun to be able to connect with people again through this amazing medium that we use these days to do that. And it's good to see you, and I'm so delighted. We were talking a little bit beforehand to hear how well you and Aaron are doing over there in your neck of the woods now, and so great to be here. Thank you for this opportunity to share a little bit more of my story and what's Celebrate Recovery, what's going on with it.
Absolutely. We all went different ways. COVID was like the great exodus, you know, so you catch up with everyone. And, and then you just told me you were in Oregon, so I was assuming you were still in Roseville. But Jeff oversaw all of the Celebrate Recovery at Bayside Church in Roseville, California, which is a very, very large church. Again, that's where I met my husband, a great place. They just do so much good. And you ran Celebrate Recovery for all the years, and now you're more in a regional position. Tell me kind of what you're doing.
Well, as you said, I was kind of leading the way there since about 2001 at Bayside. Now I am the Western Regional Director for Celebrate Recovery, which takes care of all the Western states, those being Wyoming, Idaho, Washington, Oregon, California, Nevada, Utah, Arizona, Alaska, and Hawaii.
Oh, that's all. My home state.
Yay. So yeah, it's a new role for me. I just took this role on the 1st of November. Mm-hmm. And it's really been a blast. It's really my heart. I've loved this ministry since the day I discovered it at Saddleback in 2000. And can't get enough of it.
So what exactly does your role entail? What are you doing on a day-to-day basis?
Well, still learning, that's for sure. Some of this process, it's quite incredible. But so I have the great fortune of working with about 70 other men and women in the Western region that are leading or state reps for Celebrate Recovery, which helps not just their church, but churches in their regions help them get started with Celebrate Recovery ministries in their churches. And just spreading the word and making sure we're all on the same page. And we have five different areas of the country that we're broken up to. The West just happens to be one of the larger ones. And it's quite a challenge because I'm still on my learning curve. There's so much to learn doing this. But it's very exciting in the fact that we've got such amazing people serving in the different communities, cities, smaller towns, regional areas that are there to help anybody answer any questions on how they can get a ministry such as CR started at their home church.
Oh, that's super cool. Well, you're perfect for that because you were with Bayside for so long. The longevity is just really cool. I love that.
Thank you. It's Bayside taught me a lot. They certainly did. I started off as a road warrior and worked my way up through the ranks, and That didn't happen until after I gave my life to Christ a few years before. And that's
Wow.
where life got really interesting.
Okay, so how long have you been sober?
I've been sober now 29 years, October
Oh,
29th of
wow.
this
Okay.
last year.
Okay, so
So
when you met my husband, was because he was a road warrior, was he still drinking at the time?
yes,
Did
he
you know
was.
him? Okay, yeah,
Yes, I
because
did.
he was like, yeah, I would be the road warrior, and I would like go in all hung over, and they'd give me coffee. And I was just wondering if you were one of the ones they gave him
Well,
coffee.
here's the beautiful thing about it is, like I said, it's all about the personal journey, and
Oh,
Aaron
yeah.
was working on his, and by golly, if he didn't discover that, even when he was coming over and needed coffee shoved down his throat every
Oh
morning on
my
Sundays.
gosh.
But he was there,
Yeah.
you know, and he
Yeah.
was serving, and he was giving, and he was trying to figure it out for himself what it really looked like for him and what
Yeah.
it meant to him. So yeah, it's pretty awesome.
And he's 21 years sober now, and I'm 18 years. I mean, isn't that crazy how we're all, I mean, there's such a great life beyond. I mean, look at your ministry and what you're doing, what I'm doing, what Aaron's doing. I mean, this came, you know, it wasn't like a walk in the park. It wasn't super easy, but I'm telling you,
Right.
with recovery, there's such a beautiful life of, you know, through it all. You know, if you're watching this and you're feeling like it's hopeless, it's not. I mean, there's so much hope and joy and recovery, and I can laugh about all that stuff now. I mean, it's not really, it wasn't funny then, but you can look back and laugh at some of the crazy stuff. So, Jeff, I've never heard your story. I don't know, were you raised in a Christian home? Did you find the Lord later? Did you go through
Well,
addiction and sobriety, which I'm pretty sure that there's a story there. So I would just love to hear your story. And also want to let people know there's a great event coming up with Celebrate Recovery this week at the time of this airing. So I want to make sure that you continue to listen because we're going to be telling you all about that. But yeah, just tell people your story, you know, like they say, where were you? What happened? What did God do? And where are you now?
Okay. All right. Well, I'll see if I can encapsulate this within a reasonable amount of time.
Right,
But
I know. It's always like, wow.
so I always start off with the fact I'm the oldest of five. We were raised in a Catholic home. We went to church, but it wasn't hardcore. The
Right.
folks weren't into going every week, but we did have our time. I had my time growing up in the Catholic religion with communion and confirmation and those kinds of things, jumping through the hoops and signing the little documents saying I completed this program.
Yeah.
I got into the restaurant business at an early age at 14, and that's made my mind up that's what I wanted to do for a vocation one day. So as I grew up through the years, I started drinking a little bit of beer, smoked a little pot, you know, just because it was the 60s, it was the things to do. I even dropped a little acid just to see what it was like, because Jimi Hendrix said it was a good thing to do, you know, to be experienced. But after I got past all that, Debbie and I got married in 1973, and we began our journey. And by 1976, we had bought a Straw Hat Pizza franchise restaurant up in Arcata, California, which is up on the north coast of California. So we moved from LA, that's where we grew up, was in Whittier. And we moved up there with our daughter, and that's where we stayed for about 18, 19 years. And during that time, we owned several restaurants, Straw Hats, we had some pizzas, we had some Mexican restaurants. I got involved with politics. I was on the council. I served as mayor for the city of Arcata. You know, I just was into everything. Everything. And I was even going to church on Sundays just to look like I was the right guy, you know, the perfect, the whole picture. Unfortunately, I had picked up this habit of drinking casually, and as I started to go after more and more in the world, you know, becoming a councilman and doing all the things I was doing with restaurant business, I was always invited to social events, and those social events, of course, always had cocktails available, and I got really good at the cocktail part. And so in 1990, we had some restaurants, and we were still doing pretty well. But by 1990, the Spotted Owl landed in some redwood trees, and it just froze the entire redwood, everything behind the redwood curtain shut down. There was no timber being cut. And so businesses started failing, and we were one of them. And we ended up losing, basically over a three-year period, lost everything that we had worked on all those years we had been up there. And I used alcohol as my crutch. That was my escape, not God. I would still go on Sundays, and I'd sit in the pew, and I'd listen to the messages, and God would pull on my heartstrings, and I just wouldn't budge. And
okay,
finally,
wait, I have to interrupt. I'm not connecting the dots. How did the owl cause the restaurant business?
So the owl, spotted owl, shut down the timber industry.
Right.
And when the timber industry shut down, the economy shut down. When the economy shut down, our sales started to plummet. And over a three-year period of time, we ended up having to sell everything off at a loss.
Oh, my
sorry,
gosh.
Explain that well.
Glad they saved the owl. Anyway, don't get
well, they found out that owl could live in anything, they found out later. But, of course, you know, it was a movement. So anyways.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
It pretty much caused our business to implode. Oh. And so we ended up selling everything off at a loss, and alcohol became my total crutch all the time. In fact, I took a job with the people that bought us out just because there was no other jobs to be had, and talking about humiliation and feeling like a failure, you know, people coming in the door that used to know me as the owner and the operator was now serving a new master. You know, imagine that. And so alcohol was my escape. I'd go to church on Sundays and bawl my eyes out wanting freedom. But God and I just hadn't gotten through with our wrestling match yet. And that wrestling match started in probably the winter of 1994. We sold out in 93. So it was 94 is when I started arguing with God and debating with God and who he was. And I mean, I always wanted this personal relationship that I heard about. I did. I really wanted that, but I just kept getting in the way of ever allowing God to make that happen. So finally, one night my wife asked if I would join her at a church rally in Eureka, California. And so I joined her there, and we sat in there and listened to the message that night. There was three pastors from the Humboldt County area that were sharing the messages. Our daughter was singing on the worship team that night. And so by the end of the night, again, sobbing, and I had an opportunity to go forward, and I didn't. I walked right out the door with Debbie behind me pleading for me to come back in. I said, no way. She got in her car, drove off. I sat in my truck, looked at the church, and then eventually I was drawn back in. And as I went back in and stood at the back, Phil owned the local newspaper there, good friend of mine, who knew my circumstances, knew right where I was at. It was a good Christian man. Just came up from behind me and said, Jeff. And he put his hand on my shoulder and just gently pushed me and said, go forward. And I walked down to the altar, and my pastor was one of the pastors there, and he just happened to be free in that moment.
So
I went up to him, and it just, everything came out. It was just,
whatever
had to be said was said. I was surrounded by lots of people. I remember that my daughter coming down and hanging on to me as I just surrendered everything in tears, and just I wanted a new life. And when it was all over, said and done, I was one of those miracle guys that I never drank again. In fact, the next day I challenged the Lord. You shouldn't do those things, but I did because I'm such a stick in the mud. And I went to a bar where I hung out all the time and stood there and had a Diet Coke. And the guy said, would you get religion or something? I said, something like that. I'm going to figure this one out. And that night, 24 hours later, I'm out in my backyard. It's a beautiful fall evening in Arcata. And I just looked up to heaven. And it was a Kunta Kinte moment for those that remember that movie. And it was like I just offered myself as a living sacrifice to God in that moment, knowing that I don't know what you're going to do with me. I have no clue where this is going, but I'm yours. Forever.
Wow.
And that was it. And so the next day, that was on a Sunday. So on Monday, I cracked open a recovery Bible. My wife gave me almost a year to the day before, and started figuring out all my character defects by going through the 12 steps. And I was on my own journey because I had tried AA and it just wasn't my cup of tea. And I wasn't any better than those people. I knew that. I mean, we're all in the same boat for the human race. But that began my process, and that was in October of 1994. And 5 months later, my brother Greg offered me a position as a manager of his concrete landscape material business down in North Highlands. So I went to work with him, and eventually our whole family moved down. We found Bayside in 97. And so once I started, we go into Bayside again. I became a road warrior, started my way up through the ranks because I'd never served in a church in my entire life. But I got involved with that. And then I met Pastor Glenn Belden, who was our care pastor at the time, and invited me into the process of discovering the gifts that God had given me. And he knew I hadn't figured out where I was going yet. So I took a bunch of, you know, counseling classes, and I ended up doing lay pastoring classes. And eventually somebody in one of our counselors invited me to go in 2001 down to Saddleback Church to check out a ministry called Celebrate Recovery. And I said, well, yeah, I'd like to go check that out for sure. I mean, that's where I came from. So I went down, saw that it was actually a 12-step recovery program based on the Bible, God's word, and with 8 principles based on the Beatitudes. So there's a couple of goodies right there together. And after sitting there realizing that it was an umbrella recovery program that went after our hurts and our hangups and the habits that we form to help us deal with those hurts and the hangups that we have in life. And it was like a light bulb moment. At the end of those 3 days, I went, this is it. This is truly what you've been calling me to do, Lord. I just didn't know what it was yet. And that opened the door to start CR at Bayside. And the rest is just part of the history that's gone on there for over 23 years.
Wow. Okay. So you actually started CR at Bayside. That is so
cool.
I did.
I got started. I had a couple gals that were with me at the time. And then we went for about 18 months, and then we had to shut it down because we were trying to find a bigger location to meet in. So we took a little hiatus, but we came back in 2005 and we relaunched, and we never looked back. And since that day, we've had the great honor of not only serving other men and women like us, for those that have gone through the ministry and take care of their needs, but also been an open door policy we have. We believe that the church walls are just protect us from the elements, that we do better when we're open to the entire community. And so we've helped several churches in the Sacramento region get launched with CR. And then it was in 2017 that I got invited to become a state rep in California. And that began that journey of actually, you know, just having a title, because I was already doing those things that they asked me to do. So it was nothing new, but it was a formal invite to become a state rep. And so I got to help lead the reps that are in the Northern California region of California, which I still do to this day, and now more, that I've taken on this role of regional rep.
That's really cool, because you kind of had two careers, you know, because you were kind of in your midlife when you did this, sort of thinking about my world, how I resigned from Salem and then moved here. And, you know, you're kind of like, what's next, you know, and the restaurant business and politics together, that doesn't lead itself to sobriety, but oh my gosh.
That's a tough mixture, right? It's a tough mixture.
Well, and that's probably how part of how you know Aaron. But yeah, I mean, he ends up, my husband, for those listening, does a ton of political work.
Yes,
even
he
more
does.
Now. But if there is so much alcohol and addiction, kind of like radio and just politics, the entertainment, just anything where you're out there like that. So it is, I mean, it's kind of a mission field, you know, but yeah, so here you are kind of in your midlife and a whole nother journey and a whole nother career. I mean, that's what's so cool for people that are listening. Like, and I've had people on the show where they're like, God, I was like in my 40s and I lost everything. And then I sank into my addiction, or doctors during the opiate crisis, they got addicted, lost their license, and now they're addiction counselors. I mean, there's just, God can open all these doors for a whole new life and career, like the second half of your life, you know?
Oh my gosh, incredible, right? Yeah, I was 42 years old. Actually, I was just under 43 years of age when I surrendered my life to Christ. And
Wow.
so I think there's something about that 40 number. You know, I think our second, since guys only live to be about 80 some years old, I just always say that our, after we hit 40, for some reason, we get to do the next 80 Moses did if we give it to Jesus. You know, in other words, we're going to do 80 years of experience and come with wisdom and realize that God calls to a purpose that's greater than we could ever imagine and not even think of, actually, because why would you think in those terms when your mind's a just a mush bucket, you know, because you're shoving all this alcohol or drugs or whatever your issues are. But it's all the stinking thinking we have. It all comes from those character defects. You know, mine started from when I was a child. I was 5 years old and I was sexually molested by a couple teenage guys, older teenage boys in my neighborhood, you know, and that was kept a secret for a long, long time. And it even had me questioning my own sexuality, you know, where was I headed? But I realized soon enough that I like girls better than the boys. But it's a serious issue, and it's a serious thing that happens to those that when we do these evil things to other people, then you can't stop and think, what happened to that person that violated me? What happened in their life? What caused them to go down that road? So, I mean, it's just this ongoing, terrible mess that we live in, the sins of the father, you know, it just passed down from generation to generation until us or us, be us individuals as yourself, come to a point and say, enough is enough. It stops with me. I'm going to do everything I can in my power with God's help to change where we go in the future. And it's about our kids. If Jeff Redmond did not change when he did, I would have lost my wife because honestly, that night she drove off figuring how she was going to pack my bags and kick me into the street. And my saving grace was the fact that my daughter just happened to be there when I came forward without Debbie there anymore and witnessed and came down and prayed over Dad and saw what was going on and then realize, I mean, that's all Debbie ever asked of me was just take it to God, surrender it to God. And we all have our own moment and we have our own time and our own space to do that. We all get the gift of that, and it can happen anytime, anywhere, any place. I'm often asked, so what do you think about so and so's kid that committed suicide? I said, you don't think that God wasn't with that child? You don't think God was sitting there where they were contemplating what they were doing? I mean, if I believe that God is the creator of all things in this universe, then that creation of that of Bob or Timmy or Julie or Sandy, if you don't believe that he isn't sitting there with them and holding them as they go through this final decision, whether it's right or wrong, it's not important. I'm so grateful that I am not the judge of where we head and when we head, because what we do in secrecy, one will never know until we get there. I mean, I'm sure people are going to be surprised to see me in heaven one day. No question. How did that guy get here?
Well, and I love this discussion because sometimes there's, stigma in the church and there's this, oh, what causes addiction? And, oh, just give it to Jesus and all these things. And I always say, you got the world, you got the flesh, you got the devil, So we were born into a broken world. So for most of us, there's trauma. So for you had this childhood trauma and that's what led you into your addiction. For me, it was a codependent family dynamic and an anxiety disorder and panic attacks and being dyslexic and told I was stupid. I mean, why wouldn't you drink? So, we're all trying to fix what's broken. That's what I always say. It's like we do suffer a reason. You were drinking and striving and doing all this for a reason because you're trying to fix what's broken. And so God had to take you back to that. To being molested. He had to take you back through that trauma, and that's why when I went back to school and got all these degrees, it wasn't like, oh, I'm so smart. It was like God was saying, we're not just going to fix it, we're going to redo it, and he does that, but he makes us go back there and work through what happened. And so I love that because it's the shame piece where, like with Aaron, there was religion. It was like, well, why don't you just stop? Why can't you just quit? What but again, when there's trauma, God sees a little kid. God was looking at Jeff, the little boy getting hurt. That's to me, I believe that's what he sees. He doesn't see
an addict or a sinner. He's, I mean, yes, we are sinners, but you know what I mean? He sees the broken and he wants to fix it and give us new ways to live that don't involve hurting ourselves, right? You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's so much stuff we've held in secrets. There's the family secret. There's the that elephant in the middle of the room we don't talk about. My mother was, I love my mother so much, but she was iron fisted, you know, and it was like, get the, you know, these are the things that have to be done. And then what happened to me was where I picked up my codependent people pleasing skills really started from when I was a kid, because I was always trying to do more than I was required to do to get the affirmation and the recognition from my mother and father. Because with when you have three younger brothers and a little sister, you know, your job just become basically a servant of the household. And I'm sure there's many, many adult, we have many firstborns that are listening to this program today, and they're realizing, that was me. I mean, I only had three in my family, but I was the oldest and I did everything. I was the one person stuck. But we all have our little spots where we fit in the groove, and then we all have our issues that we deal with. But it is the character defects in our past from the time we were children through our teens and through as adults that have weighed us down. They've broken us. They've hurt us. And then we turned around and done things that we are shameful for or done wrong and hurt others. And so how do you work through those things, you know?
Right. Yeah.
How do you find a way out? And that's what I love about this ministry. God gave John and Cheryl Baker in 1991 a vision of a program that encompasses it all called Celebrate Recovery. And that's why people say every time they hear Celebrate Recovery, it's, oh, it's about the drug addicts and the alcoholics and all that. No, it's not. It is about dealing with our hurts, hangups, and habits. It's about learning to celebrate in recovery of whatever it is that we struggle with. And we have created a place in church realizing this, that right now, one in four that are coming to Celebrate Recovery, one in four are there for the drugs and the alcohol. The other three are there for their other problems, whether it's sex addiction or codependency, for female love relationship issues where they can't find that right guy. They're chasing love all over the place. You name it. We've got a whole list that you can check out what we deal with at Celebrate Recovery.
Well, and everybody's got something. You know, I always say, you know, admitted we were powerless over sin, our life had become unmanageable, right? Yeah. That's what you're powerless over. You know, that doesn't mean that, oh, you know, addiction's the whole moral failing, or, you know, I don't necessarily look at it like, you know, it's everything. It's our genetics. It's our biology. It's sin. It's, you know, it's all those things, right?
Well, it's everything.
But, you know, everybody's got something. It's just the way we deal with it. Obviously, right, there's going to be more stigma around addiction because we do really dumb things. I mean, that's the problem. I think the stigma comes from how addicts look and act. It's not funny, but you know what I mean? So there's always going to be that stigma. But, you know, when you look at it from the perspective of, you know, anger that kills people from strokes and heart attacks and diabetes from food addiction, whatever it is, I mean, you know, everybody's got something. And so I think that is what's very cool about Celebrate Recovery is you get to deal with all of it, you know, and it splits off, right? So there's different groups for different hurts, habits, and hangups, right?
Absolutely. So, you know, like we meet on Friday nights at the Granite Bay campus. And each of our campuses have different nights they've chosen to meet on. And we kick off at 6:30, and we always have start off with worship because we think it's a great way to kind of get in the groove with the Holy Spirit. And if you don't know who the Holy Spirit is, just hang around long enough with us and you'll get a visit. But we have worship, and then we do announcements, and we always have our readings, which are based either we read the 12 steps and their biblical comparisons. Okay. Or our eight principles, which are based on Jesus' words, the Sermon on the Mount, and just how to be with our life. So we share that weekly, and then we either have a lesson from our Celebrate Recovery lessons. There's 25 we teach in a year, and then every other week we have a special, a man or a woman come and share their personal testimony with us with whatever their struggle was in recovery. After that is when we break into our specific issue groups. So from 7:30 to 8:30 there, we break off into men and women, go separate ways, and they each break into their different groups, whatever their struggle might be.
That is so cool. And they're all over the place. I mean, it's very easy to get plugged into it.
Oh, let me tell you, there's almost 40,000 Celebrate Recoveries meeting around the world right now.
Wow.
And that's a chunk. And all you got to do is go to celebraterecovery.com, and that'll take you to our homepage. And on there's a locator button you can push, and you just punch in the city you're in and what state you're in or where you are in the world, and it'll pop up all the CRs that meet weekly in that area. So it's very convenient, very easy to do.
What are some of the steps, principles that impacted you the most, either throughout the whole time you've been serving or maybe just initially? That like kind of more the light bulb moment where you're like, wow.
Yeah. The light bulb moment when it
I know we always have that's hard. That's a hard one because we have so many. You get to be our age and you're like, which one?
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, it's always that first one is stepping out of denial, realize that we're not God, that, Jeff had to come to the end of Jeff. And that was what I said earlier.
Yeah.
When I finally made the decision that night to say, okay, Jeff, you just can't fix this. You've tried everything. You've tried every program there is. There's got to be something you're missing. There's a key factor here. Without being plugged into that, it's not going to happen. You're just not going to get anywhere. And that's pretty much what happened with me. I finally got to that place where I just said enough is enough and stepped out of denial, realized I had a real problem, but I had to surrender. I had to give up trying to control my life anymore and say, all right, if you are who you've been arguing with me that you are, and telling me that you are, and everything I've read who you are, I mean, I know who you are, and I know Jesus is who he is, but I've never been able to get that link, to where I felt like the Spirit of God was actually in me and moving through me. Well, once you finally get to that place, it's a done deal. It was like instant. I knew something had stepped in, a power greater than myself had stepped into my life in that moment. And so it's just really been incredible. When I think back of all the 12 steps and I think about the 8 principles that all had, so the other one was we came to believe a power greater than ourselves. I said that we made a decision to turn our lives and wills over to the care of God.
I mean, Lord. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a daily deal.
You know what it is. And my whole thing for turning my will over daily.
Yeah.
It all started when, I don't know where I saw it or how I saw it, but it was the way it was put. But it's when Jesus is with his 12 ragamuffin boys and they're walking around and they approach him and say, how do we pray? How do we pray to God?
Yeah.
There was confusion there. And Jesus says, this is how you should pray to the Father. And he taught him the Lord's Prayer. And when he taught him that Lord's Prayer, I went, that's it. That's my key every morning is the Lord's Prayer to be in the Father's will, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that I surrender, Jeff surrenders for the day because I can only handle 24 hours a day barely if I stay awake for part of it. And so we all get to that place. What do we do to remind us daily that we do need to surrender to the power that is greater than ourselves, the one that created us? And then we say, but then, I mean, I got free will. There's other things I'd rather be doing with my life. And I know, how was it working for you? Were you content? Were you happy? Did you really feel fulfilled? How's your family? How's your children? Are they looking up to you? Are they realizing that there's something in you that's more powerful than they could ever imagine? And it really does get to that place where we need to take on that responsibility and allow God to develop us into exactly who he created us to be. As you do what you do. As I get to do what I do, it's, hey, if I look good to people out there, and I'm not talking about the physical, but what I do is looking good and says, wow, that's really, really good stuff, what he's doing. It is the Father. He gets all the credit. I just say yes every day as you say yes every day. And because you and Aaron and me, my wife, my kids, every day surrender to the Lord and say, use us, he's using us. My daughter up here in Oregon that we are with now, Melissa. And she was the one on the stage that night. She and her husband both work for Luis Palau. And Luis
Wow.
Palau
Yeah.
Association is an amazing evangelistic association that's gone around the world changing people's lives one person at a time, just to get the word of Christ into people's hearts wherever they go. I love that.
Wow. Yeah.
So.
That's great. I love that. The power of surrender. I mean, it's just huge. It's huge, and it's a daily deal. And especially if you've been striving, if there was trauma, if your needs were ignored, right? We come up through, and then we even get into recovery. And it's this idea that nobody was there for me when I was little. Nobody was, I had to do everything, my needs were ignored. So that's where that control is the root of addiction can come in. Not that that's necessarily it, but one of them, because you think, well, I've got to take care of my own needs because nobody's going to do it for, like, and then we get into that where, and then we don't want to ask for help, and we're trying to fix it all. And finally, like you said, everybody's bottom's different, but you come to the end of yourself where you're just like, I can't, I mean, I remember me, I was still working for the fish. I'm doing afternoon drive. Because I accepted Christ when I was 28, and I didn't get sober till I was like 33. So I'm going, playing praise and worship music and uplifting the listeners, and then blacking out, driving drunk. I mean, it was, and God was there through that whole thing, just gently, and then I started popping Xanax with the tequila, and that's when I started to get really sick. And that's when I came to the end of myself, like, you're gonna die. You can't this. And I kept trying, probably like you, before you finally surrendered it. Like, okay, God. My favorite story is when I told him I'd throw away all my heavy metal CDs if he'd strike me sober. So I filled up these trash bags, and there go all the Dio and the Danzig and the Metallica and Def Leppard, and I threw it all away. And then I was drunk the next night. It was like, God. What I thought we had a deal, and he's like, yeah, no, you're gonna go to those meetings, you're gonna get a spot, you're gonna call, and you're gonna do all that. I got sober through AA, but whatever, same difference. Had to go get a sponsor, had to go embarrass myself in those meetings, and but once I had that accountability, I never drank again, never drank again. So I, there's something about having those people and that accountability around, that it can be, that can be the key for you,
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you. It is all about the journey we do with others. And that's what I love about CR, just like AA. It is all about anonymity and confidentiality, and what's shared in the group stays in the group, and it's honoring each other. The one difference is that we do celebrate a guy named Jesus as our higher power. And when folks show up at Celebrate Recovery, I tell them, hey, I don't expect y'all to believe in Jesus right now. I have many of you here that are hurt by God and by Christ or whatever's gone on in your life. I get it. Please understand one thing. If you give this ministry a shot, and if you keep coming back, I promise you a light will go on in your little heart and you will start seeing things differently. It's the weirdest thing that happens here. So just keep coming back. Even when you don't feel like it, just keep coming back, because there is a God that is alive and he wants to turn that little light switch on inside each one of us, which operates that soul of ours, ignite it so that the Holy Spirit can start doing what he needs to do, or she, however you want to look at it, but how the Holy Spirit can actually take us and renew our minds in a way that is just unbelievable. And then you think about what we've been able to do. You think about everybody you have touched, Jody, over the years, what you've shared by going and speaking. I think about the opportunities God has given me, not only at Bayside Church, but through Folsom Prison. Before COVID, we had like over 600 men and women that were a part of Celebrate Recovery in Folsom Prison. They're starting to rebuild that now because everything's got shut down. I think about the trips to Mexico, to Africa, to Cambodia, to Vietnam, to South America, where I've gone to just share Celebrate Recovery. And every
Nice. Yeah.
opportunity is a beautiful thing. And I'm not doing this to boast or brag. These are
Yeah.
all doors that God opened up, and then good people sent me with the gifts, which are the kits, in their language to go and to share this good news that, hey, the big one is, but you don't understand. You don't understand our culture, Jeff. And I said, no, I don't understand your culture, but I understand sin. And the way you're drinking and the way you're beating on your wife is the same way Joe next door to my house up in America is doing the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's just want to deal with the bottom line stuff. You can figure out the culture thing. I don't have the brains for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I love the ministry too, because like you said, it's an open door. And I think the reason I didn't go to celebrate was I was working for the Christian station and I didn't want any of the Christians to know I was an alcoholic. You know, now I don't care, but you know, that's the thing. It's like, it's such a big ministry now and we don't need to be ashamed. You know, like I said, everybody's got something, but you know, sometimes we're just like, oh, I got to get cleaned up to go into the church. You know, that was my mentality, you know, it's silly, but it shouldn't be that way. But that's how some of us are. If we don't know, we just think you got to put on an act for the church. Right. You know?
I think that the church in so many ways has changed over the years, regardless of where you call your home church. It's like, you know, the grace is the most important thing we can offer, that we got to realize that we have a very, very broken world. And there's an urgency. I really believe God is speaking to every one of us that are walking with him. There's an urgency that we need to be doing all we can to help people find the truth in life and find some freedom, you know, before the day comes when he does come back and says, enough of this. I want to redo it now. I want to see as many people as we can to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the main goal. But before we can get to that, sometimes we need to get our brains screwed in a little bit differently and start doing a heart check, see where we're at in life, you know, and start working on making amends and asking for forgiveness and walking away from our past that has destroyed our lives, you know. Amazing how things from our past sometimes have a hold on us. You know, I can think of times when I was so angry at something that happened to me when I was, when I was a boy. At those guys, you know, until I released those guys and forgave them for what they did to me, that was always it just haunted me.
Yeah.
Not no more. You know, it is what it is. So.
Yeah. That resentment. That's what they say. Yeah. Resentment, the number one killer. And, you know, you can see it, you know, and the longer we're in recovery, you know, you start to kind of, you know, like, you know, when someone else is ticking and you know, when you're like a ticking time bomb, like, oh, I got to deal with this because if I don't, you know. Well, anyway, Jeff, I've kept you for a while. You have an event coming up, the Celebrate Recovery. Talk to me about what is happening and how people can get involved in all of this.
Yeah. Okay. I can do that. I can do that for you. So what's happening is this weekend, since we're airing this Sunday night, so this coming weekend, Friday and Saturday, we have the national team coming in to the Adventure Campus, the Bayside Church in Roseville, up at the Adventure Campus. We'll be there Friday night. We'll be doing a huge Celebrate Recovery. The nice thing is the national team will be doing questions and answers for about an hour and a half. So it starts at 5:00. And we'll roll right into our large group time afterwards. And we have Pastor Kevin Thompson coming to speak on learning how to stay in our own lane, which will be a great topic for everybody there, regardless if you're in recovery or not. And then Saturday morning, we start at 8:00 and we'll go till 4:30. And during that course of that day, you'll be able to be trained up and experience Celebrate Recovery more for the leadership is what we're going after, is how to develop our leaders that are already existing and those that are looking at even launching a Celebrate Recovery. Great information, good time together, and they can go. I will be sending you a link that you can post. It'll have the contact information of where you can go, or you can just go to celebraterecovery.com, like I said earlier, and look for the Sacramento training event happening on March 15th and 16th. And there's still plenty of room. We'd love to have you come and join us. It is a great opportunity for those, like I said, that are already leaders, and really a special opportunity for folks that have been thinking about starting a Celebrate Recovery ministry at their church. Good time to come and ask questions and listen and see what it's all about and make a decision whether you want to invest in this or not. I will tell you, it is a ministry that is impacted so many lives, continues to impact so many lives here in the Sacramento region, in Reno. Grace Church over there has an amazing program there. And so does, I think, what's up on the hill? Shadow?
Is it Summit? Battle Ridge? I think
or Summit. It is Summit.
Aaron and I go to Summit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Summit's up on the hill there. In fact, I shared my
testimony there one time. In Sparks,
that's where it's at. I went up there and shared my testimony one time. I said, boy, you truly are a light on a hill. Sure. What a view from the preacher's point of view, looking out those doors. So it's just really good stuff, Jody. Like you were telling me, you continue to go to school and going after another master's. I think that's absolutely incredible, because how God, this is, I'm not done with you yet. This is, you know what? You checked off on October 29th, 1994, Jeff. That is a slash in your dash where you committed the rest of your eternity to me. Well, it doesn't stop on the day I die. He says for the rest of your eternity. That means forever and ever. Amen. The only thing is, once we cross over with him, we don't have to do a lot of stuff we're doing today, right?
Well, we don't have to strive so much.
Really, right?
We should be striving, but sometimes it still feels like it. We'll still have to work, but we won't have, I don't know, we won't have all the sin and all the problems. And it's going to be glorious.
For sure. Well, I would say one more thing too, is if people need just to contact me and want some more information, they can contact me at jeffr@baysideonline.com. jeffr@baysideonline.com. And I'm happy to get you any information anytime about the Celebrate Recovery Ministry, or answer any questions regarding this event coming up here in another next weekend. And so there you have it. I'm thrilled to be here with you today, Jody. Give my best to Aaron.
I will tell
him I get to see you guys on Facebook. That's why I know when you got a snowy day over there or what's going on. So you guys have a lot of snow.
We got lit up. I actually coach downhill skiing at Mount Rose. And this is my third year coaching, but this is the first year they were closed for 4 days. And they kept trying to think they were going to run the program. You know, I grew up in Alaska, so I know about we get just as much snow here, but they're like, okay, we think we're going to run programs Saturday. And no, you're not. We're going to open 9 a.m. on Sunday. I'm like, no, you're not.
That is hilarious.
Well, they're finally getting things open and digging everything out. It was quite the storm. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for coming on, sharing your experience, strength, and hope, talking all about Celebrate Recovery and the event coming up. I just really appreciate it and connecting with you again.
It's my absolute pleasure. Thanks for this opportunity, and I'd love to come back someday when you got something else you want to talk about.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, friends, for listening to Genuine Life Recovery, playing on your favorite app or on my website at jodystevens.org. It's JodieStevens, jodystevens.org. There you can check out my podcast, blog, recovery coaching info, speaking, and more. Check it out.